are listening to the Traditional Outdoors Podcast.
What's going on, buddy?
Running around, man, running around chasing kids. Aubrey's had her first marching band meeting, and I'm pretty sure that's a cult. But it's a cult I'm going to have to join for a few years. Other than that, same old work craziness and, you know, getting out when I can, just enjoying the nice weather that we've kind of had lately. What about you?
Kind of the same thing. I mean, staying pretty busy, but, I don't know. We've had a little bit of a hard time getting synced up here on when we could both make time to record. So it's good we actually found time on both our schedules. I know I'm out in Houston the next several days, so I'm not recording from my normal setup. So if there's any change in the sound, and everyone will know why. But no, it's been good. Just like I said, been busy with work. Busy with a few other activities, you know, going on around the house and so forth. But look, I don't envy you at all. I've been there, done that with the kids thing, and as much as I enjoyed it, I can't say that I'm sorry those days are behind me.
No, hey.
At the same time, I do miss it at times, but you know what I mean.
It's a grind, dude. Yeah, I do love it. I love all of it. Well, some nights I don't love it, but. You know, to see them succeed is awesome. Like Mackenzie is quite the violin player. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but she's only about a year into it, and she just had her first solo test, and she got the top score. And they want her to do private lessons, so she plays
very cool.
Yeah, she plays all the time. She's good. So and Aubrey's, you know, Aubrey's having fun just being Aubrey. She's doing well in school, and you know, she's. Got almost all A's. Mackenzie's got all A's, so I couldn't be more proud of my kids, and I'm really involved in their lives, and that's all I can hope for. And yeah, dude, we didn't record one of the times we didn't record because I had technical difficulties, and the reason I had technical difficulties was I thought it was during that AT&T outage everybody had, that it was all because of that, and I kept calling them up, and they were like, well, we've had outages, and, you know, we're having issues and whatnot, and I kept trying to get a tech out there, and they kept saying, well, it's fixed now. My internet was resetting, and or my router was resetting, and I don't know how many times a day I'd have to do it. And we had fluctuating temperatures, and I'll get to that in a second, but basically what happened is I finally got a tech out there. Guy went out there and looked, and he was out there for quite a while. And he goes, well, you know, your modem has restarted 230 times in 3 days. And I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, well, I cut the line down and water shot out of it like a hose. And he goes, now you're okay if it's frozen. It'll work. But now that it's not, basically during the day when it's warming up, the water's messing everything up. And what happened is a damn squirrel chewed a hole in my line and must have done it, you know, earlier in the winter here and just messed everything up on me. So by the time everything thawed, it went to hell. So anyway, I got sabotaged by a squirrel and not in the woods this time.
Well, it's we're probably going to end up talking a little bit about rodents of various kinds and chasing small game. I know we didn't really come into this with a real agenda, so we're just going to probably bounce all over the place. But I know that's one of the things that we kind of talked about. But I did want to bring up before that. I know this is this is going to be like the fourth episode that we've recorded since we. Kind of got back into doing this, and it's kind of funny. The last couple of weeks, I've gotten emails 2 weeks in a row that just different places where you host the podcast will send you emails about what's going on as far as rankings and those kind of things, and it's steadily climbing back up. So
nice.
You know, I did want to say, you know, we really appreciate. The ones that are listening, I know that there are people that found the podcast after we'd kind of went on hiatus for a little while. So, you know, that's helping the numbers too, but yeah, the people are still listening, and they're, They haven't, at least some of them hasn't forgotten about us, because their rankings are going back up. I know one of them said we'd gone up like 25 slots in some outdoors category, which I thought was pretty
Oh,
cool.
that is really cool.
Yeah, so for everyone that's for listening and stuck with us, we definitely appreciate it. And tell your friends, share it out, let other people know. We'd love to have more people listening in.
They like us, Steve. They like us. They really like us.
They like one of us. I don't know which one it is, but the other thing I was going to talk about real quick. So you and I have talked about this in the past a little bit, but and I did make a post on Facebook about it, but I'm a huge fan of Garmin. I've been using a Garmin product in one form or fashion since I think around 96 is when I bought the first Garmin device, and it was a handheld GPS. It was a 12XL. I still remember the model. I can't remember what I paid for it, but it was expensive. But that's kind of how I learned to use a GPS for navigation. It wasn't great, but nothing like what we have today. But I had a problem with that device. I won't even get into it, but had a problem with that device and contacted their support. I think I called them at that time, and just after a few minutes, they told me what was wrong, and it was actually my fault. But be that as it may, they said, here's your RMA, send it back to us, and we'll send you a new unit. I was tickled to death. And not only did they send me a new unit, they didn't even wait for mine to get to them. I actually received the new one in the mail before I ever mailed mine out, which also really impressed me. And I've had a couple other things like that, but recently, and I say recently, in the last 2 years, I bought a Garmin watch, smartwatch. It's a Instinct, Solar Instinct 2, and it's worked perfectly. I've loved the watch. I've used it as a GPS off my phone a few times. Definitely use it for tracking steps and sleep patterns, all that normal stuff that I don't know if it really matters, but once you have one of those watches that do that, you can't help but look at the information it's leaving you. But sometime over the last month and a half, 2 months, it got to where I'd be working at my desk or sitting on the couch, and it would just randomly go into GPS mode, which really drains the battery on it really quick. So I'd have to stop, push the buttons, and exit out, and all this stuff. And finally, I just reached out to Garmin support on Facebook, and it was about 2 weeks of back and forth. They wanted me to try to catch it doing it on video. They wanted me to make sure I was on the latest version. They had me rebooted, all this other stuff. And finally, they asked me to send a folder of files off of the device to them. And within like 30 minutes, they said, "Yeah, there's a button on the watch that's faulty according to the logs. So even though it's out of warranty, here's your RMA number. Send it back to us. We'll send you a brand new one." So, I just whenever I have a company that has customer service like that, I have to give them a shout out. So, I know there's not a lot of. There used to be two real players, and I don't even know if Magellan still does anything with GPSs anymore. But anyway, just a huge shout out to Garmin. If you've ever wondered about buying a device, I would say do not hesitate. They've got some of the best customer service in the world. So,
Man, that's awesome.
had to throw that out there. So, small game. I don't even know why we pinned on that target. I think it was back and or that subject. It was back and forth through chat. But what did you have in mind that you wanted to throw out about small game?
Basically, that not enough people do it, or talk about it when they do do it. This kind of started with me. Years ago, when I first started writing, I really wanted to be in TBM, and I reached out to Don Thomas and I said, what do I got to do to get into the magazine? And he said that, well, he goes, nobody writes about small game, and you should write about small game if you can. He said everybody wants to focus on big game, or they would talk about philosophy, or they do other things. And my dog is going nuts, dude.
I hear that.
We have a new thing outside, a thing that Tess visitors, so we have a new like a new bell ringer. So whenever it rings, she goes crazy.
I figured she was after that squirrel.
You know what? But anyway, Don Thomas said that, and he, you know, I thought, oh well, you know, I'm gonna start doing more squirrel hunting. And then, you know, I did go on a couple rabbit hunts, and I did go on a couple squirrel hunts. I was actually successful in the rabbit hunts, but I didn't get any pictures or anything. And the squirrel hunts, you know, I'm just too busy flinging arrows at squirrels, and I don't think about, for one, getting a photograph of a squirrel ain't the easiest thing in the world to do. And back then, cameras weren't amazing. You know, I had like a point and shoot. I didn't have like a nice camera or anything like that, and phones didn't have cameras like they do now. And I kind of just gave up on it. Well, funny enough, Dave Tetzlaff reached out to me, now the editor of TBM. And he's like, I'd like to hear more from you. And I go, and he goes, can you write something about small game? And I'm like, well, yeah, if I ever shoot something, Dave, I'll write about it. But I haven't hit anything yet. So every time we do it, it's more of a fun social event, and we end up stumping, and we make too much noise to shoot a squirrel. So it's not really anything like serious to do. And when I'm deer hunting, I don't know about you, I don't take pot shots at squirrels when I deer hunt. I'm kind of just deer hunting. I don't really take any blunts out with me in the woods. When I deer hunt, I just have broadheads, and I'm not wasting a broadhead on a squirrel in a tree somewhere and not getting it back. So that's kind of where I'm at. I have to dedicate myself to it, and I just haven't really gotten around to it, but I'd like to. What about you?
Well, first of all, so David, we've actually had Dave on the podcast. He was on episode 73. I just pulled that up. So for anyone that hadn't listened to episode 73, I would say it's a very interesting listen. So that was back in 2019. But yeah, Dave's a cool guy.
Really good guy. Yep.
As far as, let's see, all that to unpack, I'd love to say that, yeah, I will not take a shot at a squirrel when I'm deer hunting, but I have been known to do that. I have been known to do it and then realize I regret it shortly after, because I could tell that I actually spooked a whitetail in the process of doing so. I'd also like to tell you that I always keep a blunt for just such an occasion, but no, I've launched more than one broadhead at a squirrel before.
Oh, I know. So, I know you have. I've seen pictures. I've seen pictures of the arrows in trees.
Well, yeah, I've actually shot squirrels with them too, but
there was a squirrel on the end of the arrow.
but I will say this: it's I don't know that I've ever actually gone small. Well, I know of one time I went small game hunting with a bow. I mean, that was my intention. Most of the time, it's because our deer season ends. On public land, it usually ends around the first of the year, and our small game season runs until the end of February. So a lot of times I'll get out and I'll do, you know, I'll be scouting or, you know, stump shooting, and I'll have nothing but field points and blunts. And yeah, then I would definitely shoot a squirrel, and I have done so, shot at. I don't think I've ever actually connected on one of those outings, but I don't go out for the purpose of squirrel hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny that you brought this up, because I actually was going to sit down this past weekend, because we just couldn't get our schedules together the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to get something recorded. And that was actually the topic that I was going to record about. Was a couple of weeks ago, I just got the desire to go out and go squirrel hunting one morning. And this is a longer discussion. I don't want to take up all the time talking, but I had years ago, I had a little 22. It was a Ruger 77-22 all weather. People refer to them as a boat paddle. I don't even know if you know what one looks like, but it's a stainless steel 22 bolt action rifle with what the name of the material that the stock's made out of, but it does resemble a black colored boat paddle. And they're virtually indestructible, but about as ugly as sin. But anyway, I had sold that rifle to Gene Bramlett, who's also been on the show. And I just happened to ask him a month or so ago if he still had it and if he would be willing to sell it back to me. And he said he did, and he said he would. And he sold it back to me for exactly what he paid for it.
Nice.
So I bought the rifle back with, along with about 2,500 to 3,000 rounds of ammo as well. And to be honest, a huge shout out, Gene, because after I got it back, I hadn't even looked, but I had posted something in a Facebook group about, you know, that rifle. And somebody made the statement that, yeah, I wish they had held on to theirs because the prices have just gone stupid. And yeah, if he'd wanted to, Gene could have charged me a lot more, because I think the few that I did find was about three times more than what he sold it back to me for, even with all the ammo. So, Gene, I appreciate it if you're listening. But anyway, and I want to talk about that rifle again before we wrap this up. But so I carried that rifle out and did a little walking, did a little scouting. Sat down several times and just, you know, let the woods quieten down and listen, and saw a few squirrels and watched them play. Never even raised the gun to pull a trigger. I actually had more fun just watching them than anything else. But it did make me think and reflect back. You know, I'm sure a lot of us are that way, but that's how I got started hunting. Is my dad had a little 22, I think it's a Winchester, I can't even remember the model number now, but it's a little automatic 22 rifle. It's got a tube magazine, open sights, but that's what I learned to, you know, hunt with. You know, my dad would carry me and my brother out, and we'd take turns being the trigger man, so to speak. We had a great time. And then as I got older, you know, I still did a lot of squirrel hunting, and Dad finally gave me a bow for my 16th birthday. And you know, that fall I started deer hunting, but I didn't have any success for several years. But as soon as bow season was over, I might go out once or twice deer hunting, and then I went back to squirrel hunting. It was one of those things where I could either sit in the tree and do nothing, or I could go out squirrel hunting and shoot a few squirrels with pretty much reckless abandon. And after I shot my first deer, all that changed. And thinking back on that, I can't this year. Our season's ended now, but the when fall comes around in 2020, this at the end of this year in 2024, I'm definitely going to set aside some days just to go squirrel hunting. Get out there before daylight, you know, watch the woods come alive, and when the squirrels are cutting acorns and, you know, they're running all through, I'm going back out. I really, just something about that day made me realize just how much I really miss that. And I don't think it's something that I'm going to do a lot of, but it's one of those things where you can just slow down. There's no pressure at all. You're not worried about, am I going to be able to make a good shot? You know, am I set up in the right place? Not that I worry about this a lot, but you know, is the buck big enough before I shoot and all this other crap, you know, and just go and have some fun, you know?
Yeah, I do. You know, the little bit of hunting I did when I was younger, when I was a kid, I didn't really do the hunting, but I went with my dad and he had just a 10-22, and we went squirrel hunting, and, that's how we kind of did it. You know, he tried to get us to stay quiet. You know, once in a while, my little brother would tag along, and we would just kind of walk through the woods, and my dad would tell us to hold up, and he'd see one on a branch, and he'd shoot it, and he'd fall, and it'd fall, and he'd put it in the thing. And what my dad usually did is if he got a few, he'd cook them up, and we'd have them, you know, we'd stew them up or whatever that night. Mm-hmm. If he only got, like, one, he'd skin them right away in the woods, and then, because he always said it was way harder to do when you didn't do it right away in the woods. And he had a plastic bag in the freezer, and he'd stick the squirrel in the freezer after he skinned it and gutted it and field dressed it. And he'd wait till he had enough to make a bigger stew. And then my mom would cook it up. And I think, yeah, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
So I was going. So you've never had fried squirrel?
Oh yeah, I've had fried squirrel too.
Okay,
I like fried squirrel. Yeah, it's my wife won't touch it. Like she's like, yeah, if you bring it home, I ain't eating it. I'm like, it's hillbilly venison, man. You have no idea what it tastes like. It's good. But I mean, usually what we do is, you know, you crock pot it up and, you know, put some cream of mushroom in there or something, and I think they're great. And my dad would always mix like squirrel and rabbit. You know, whatever we had, but I always had, you know, real good memories of doing that. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think a lot of people got started that way. It's got a lot of nostalgia to it.
Well, and that's the nostalgia part was what probably got me. If I'm being honest, I, you know, sitting there and reflecting back and thinking, I mean, you know, I don't remember how old I was, but I definitely wasn't driving. And, you know, my brother's 4 years younger than me. And obviously, you know, we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but, you know, just for various reasons, not that me and my brother ever had a falling out or anything. We just, because of distance and life in general, we didn't spend a lot of time together the last 20 plus years. And, you know, we got back together and started doing some stuff together this past year hunting, and that made me think about it a good bit too. And, I don't know. Like I said, it's just something that I really remember enjoying, and kind of just got lost in the pursuit of big game. Like you said, it's, you know, a lot of us, once we start chasing after, you know, whitetails and those kind of things, the squirrel hunting gets forgotten. And I know a lot of people still do squirrel hunting and rabbit hunting. But I haven't in many years with a purpose, and I really am looking forward to doing that again this fall. No scouting, no pre-placing stands, no, you know, just, oh, there's a stand of oaks. I think I'll go there. You know,
You don't
it's
got your
just easy.
squirrel stand all set.
No,
You know,
and not to mention the fact it's cheap.
right. Well, and you know what's funny is I'm pretty sure a lot of people who do, you know, when you see people post up like their small game awards in the Michigan Longbow Association or you know, they'll get something in TBM or something, a small game thing. I think a lot of that's opportunity. Because I mean, when you're sitting out in the woods and you're deer hunting for a long period of time, you get opportunities at squirrels. That's when you get them. And John Buchin always gives me crap about it because he's always like, squirrel catchatory. You got to just, when it comes by, you just shoot it. And he doesn't do it either. So, I mean, I don't know. We just kind of like, I get to watching them and I'm kind of like you. I get entertained and I'm like, if I'm going to sit here for 4 hours, I'm not killing my entertainment. Unless it's barking at me and I kill it in spite. And I don't know how a squirrel tastes when you kill it in spite.
Same way it does if you kill it when it doesn't know.
Yeah, I know. But but man,
it
you get, and the thing is like, you pretty much would hunt the same way. You go out. My dad, the other way he'd do it. And he used to hunt, like not pheasant, but he used to hunt partridge and stuff this way too. Is he'd go sit, he'd just go find a place to sit in the woods on a stump or something, and he'd just wait. And eventually they'd come by after they acclimated to him. And, you know, it's better than chasing them tree to tree, but it's not as fun when you can chase them tree to tree.
Right. Yeah.
But not, I've never connected on one with a bow, and I'd like to. And every year we say in the fall, there's too many where we hunt, and we need to start cleaning some of them out of there. Especially the red squirrels, they're everywhere. But yeah, nasty little buggers.
Well, I haven't taken many, but I have taken a few, and I have taken a rabbit. But again, the only reason I shot the rabbit is I was on my way out of a stand one morning and just happened to see it. In a clump of brush, and it didn't think, or maybe I think I saw it move. But anyway, it was in some brush, and it got a Magnus. I mean, it wasn't a field point. And if I remember correctly, it took me longer to find the broadhead than it did to retrieve the rabbit. But
I mean, you wind a damn squirrel, and they'll die of fright.
Right. Sometimes, I mean, the gray squirrels around here, or I say around here, I mean Houston, right?
I meant rabbit. Yeah, squirrels are tough.
Yeah, those things are tough. Yeah, rabbits, you thump them real hard and they'll fall over. But Squirrels are tough.
Yeah, I've seen my dad. I saw my dad hit one square in the back with a judo point from about 10 yards. And that thing just shook that. I mean, it wasn't happy, but it just shook that thing off and ran up the tree. And I saw John told us a story one time where he shot one and it actually carried his broadhead all the way into up a stump. And he could see his arrow rattling around on the inside of the hole of the stump.
So it's funny you say that. Michael get a kick out of me telling this too, but I actually forgot about this, but after season, I think it was around New Year's Day this year, me and Amy went up to spend, to have Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving, Christmas. God, get my holidays mixed up. And one morning, Mike and I went out and did a little scouting and carried, I think he had a .22 rifle and I had my little .22 pistol with me. And we managed to spot one squirrel as it was trying to avoid us up in the top of a tree, you know, running, skirting around the side, just really hugging the tree. And it was, I don't know, it was a hail of bullets that lasted for probably 2 or 3 minutes. One of us was shooting and run around, the other one was shooting and run around, and I finally hit it, and the thing came flying down the tree and ran into a little stump. And Mike goes over and he, you can still see his tail. Mike grabs the thing by his tail and pulls it out. And I said, all right, hold it. I'll shoot him again. Mike didn't think it was very humorous.
That's funny.
And I wasn't going to try to shoot it again with him holding it, but yeah, he got a little sideways off me. But
yeah, and they're,
but anyway,
it's just an entertaining thing to do. It's a lot more fun when you got people with you, for sure. And rabbit hunting's like
it
that
is.
Too. If you got somebody with a beagle and you got a few friends out there, it's way more fun. Like if you're just walking around beating brush by yourself with rabbits, you ain't gonna have very much luck. And you know, two, it's just kind of boring, you know.
It is.
But I end up, like, I went out a couple weekends ago to squirrel hunt. It was probably a few weekends ago. And for the purpose of trying to, like, okay, well, maybe if I get one, I can write about it. And I saw them, but, you know, it was one of those days where it was like they were just hanging out way up in the top of the trees. They weren't coming down. There wasn't a lot of activity on the ground. And I did more walking than anything because, you know, you'd see them. They'd run down the other side of the tree and disappear. They go up the next tree, they run down the other side of the tree and disappear. You'd see two of them playing, they disappear. I mean, when you want to find a squirrel, you can't. When you don't want to find them, they're everywhere. It's just one of those things because, you know, and of course the ones that just sit above you and bark for an hour are just the absolute worst. I've had him almost run right over my shoulder or on top of my head. You know, it's just crazy. But
I've had him climb up on the platform of my tree stand while I was sitting there. They do some crazy things. They really do.
Yep, I've had one. I've had him run over across my boot too and not know I'm there. But it's funny because sometimes when they do that and they don't know and all of a sudden you move and they just freak out and they shoot up like 2 feet up in the air. But yeah, they are fun to watch. That's part of the reason why some of them I just won't shoot. Like if I see a big like a big gray one, for whatever reason I won't shoot a big gray one. I don't know what it is. My dad always told me when I was a kid that seeing the gray ones is rare, and I don't know if that's true. It might have been rare where we were, because here they're all kinds of different colors. I mean, we've seen half gray, half black. You know, Allegan, we've seen red and black. We've seen, I mean, they're just mixing and matching all over the place, but when I was a kid, it was black squirrels or it was fox squirrels, and you didn't have anything in between. So if you saw a gray one, that was a really rare thing to see, and they were usually pretty big.
And we have gray squirrels everywhere. I mean, that's really all we have. We have some fox squirrels, but most of them are big grays. So that's all I've, you know, growing up, that's all I hunted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they probably blend in pretty good over there in the fall, too.
They do.
You got a lot more
grays. As long as they're steel.
Yeah.
and they're very rarely steel, but
yeah,
but they can hide. They can hide against the tree bark really well. They'll flatten out on them, especially if they know that you know you're trying to get them. They'll just flatten out on the trees, and It makes it pretty difficult. Like I say, if you got somebody with you, you know they can, you can circle a tree, one of you circling while the other one stands still, and you can catch them moving, or you can throw sticks across to the other side, and they'll sometimes you can fool them, but they are definitely good at camouflage. So, but
Go ahead.
no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just pretty much wrapping that up. The only squirrel story I ever really, the most consistent squirrel hunt we've had is that one where we had the Whitneyville Baptist Church had its, they did a thing every year where we could go and, you could enter a team and there'd be a bunch of people with dogs and stuff. And it was just a fun deal with a raffle and you'd have chili at the end. And me, Jamie, John, and whoever else wanted to come, Mudry, all kinds of people, with Carrie Cox one year. I mean, we had a blast doing it, but every year we do it, nobody'd ever shoot anything. And we just show up and we were like the trad guys that never shot anything. Some people shoot like 30 of them with guns.
Yeah, we don't do much of that stuff, but it would be fun. But look, it's been a great chat. We apologize to everybody. This one is going to be kind of short because I'm remote. I'm having to use software for Nick and I to chat, and we have a 40-minute limit. And I'm sitting here watching it count down now. We're about down to about 4 minutes. But I do want to kind of say a few things real quick because I want to set the stage for a future episode. One being that 7722 all weather's getting a makeover. I bought a new Boyd's custom stock for it, and I had to because it the stock that comes on it has the trigger guard and all built into the stock, so I had to end up finding a trigger guard from Ruger. I got that through Brownells. It showed up yesterday. The stock showed up today, and of course, I'm not home. It's getting a new scope. I ended up putting a 2-7 Vortex Diamondback, really nice scope on it. So I'm gonna post some before after pictures, Nick, and you'll get to see what one looks like, and you'll see what I did with it, because I kind of got bit several months ago, almost a year ago now, about getting into more of the gun, not necessarily gunsmithing world, but that kind of work. And one of the episodes that I do want us to talk about, if you'll be my questions guy, is the AR build that I did last year that I actually ended up taking those two nice bucks with this year. So that'll be coming on a future episode. If what I'd like to do is between you asking questions and me just kind of walking through it, just walk through the whole process, how I not only learned how to do it, but how I sourced the parts and built this thing from the ground up. And like I said, I'll share some pictures on the Facebook group once I get this Ruger 22 update finished.
Sounds good, man. I've been your question guy for 10 years. I can ask questions about that.
Sounds good, man. Well, we need to wrap it up. Time's ticking down to about 2 minutes now. So hope you enjoyed this one. I know it wasn't a huge topic, but it is something that just kind of fell in place and was something that, oddly enough, Nick and I were both thinking about at the same time. So this fall, when you're in the deer stand and you're getting frustrated, don't forget about the poor lowly squirrel, and maybe hang up your bow for a day or two, and take your bow. Well, could take your bow or take your rifle out and shotgun out, get a few squirrels, make a stew. Sound like a plan? All right, man. Well, we will talk to everyone soon. We'll have another episode in a week or two. Until that time, take care, everyone.